Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed, powered by the SID Media. Pastor Simon Mwembela is on the line. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine today.
Lovely, lovely. Great to hear that. And it's a Friday, man, so it's a time that we have arrived in the holy hours of rest, eh?
Definitely.
Now, we're going to be concluding a discussion we've been having about the Christ ministry in the heavenly sanctuary. And, of course, since returning to heaven, Christ serves as an advocate, our advocate, that is, and also the intercessor. He stands between us and Satan and also connects us directly to the Father. Because it says in 1 John 2, verse 1, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection opened a way for communication with heaven. With that having been said, Pastor, what is it that has changed after Christ's death and resurrection, and of course his subsequent ascent to heaven?
All right. I would say there are several things, you know, that have changed. Let me say, like the way we mentioned yesterday, that earthly, you know, the system of, you know, animal sacrifice, it ended the moment Christ died on the cross of Calvary. So I would say the first one is earthly sacrificial system ended. The death of Jesus, the ultimate, you know, Lamb of God, fulfilled the sacrificial system. The temple veil was torn at his death, and that symbolized the, you know, the end of the need for earthly sacrifices and the direct access, you know, believers now have in God. Then the second thing I would say is Jesus became our high priest. Remember yesterday we had mentioned that, you know, in the Old Testament, there was a priest, a high priest who could, you know, enter the most holy place once a year. That was on the Day of Atonement.
Yeah.
But because Jesus died on Calvary's cross, you shall discover that, you know, Jesus has now become, you know, our high priest. Upon his ascension, Jesus entered the heavenly sanctuary and he began his role as our high priest. That means he is interceding on our behalf. He is offering his merits, and his merits are offered once and for all. And that is, that's kind of when you read Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 to 12. And the last 2 points I would want to mention on this question is, what changed? Well, there is a new covenant that has been established because of the death of Christ. Remember, when Jesus went to heaven, he was inaugurated as, you know, our high priest. He took his position, you know, at the right hand of the Father. And that definitely means that, you know, Jesus inaugurated a new covenant that replaced the old system of the law written on stone. With this new covenant, you shall discover that the new covenant is written on our hearts. And this new covenant provides direct forgiveness through Jesus and restores a personal relationship with God. The difference I would mention is Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 6 to 13. Then the last point I would mention on this, you know, question, it is we now have direct access to God. You know, in the Old Testament, believers no longer needed, you know, believers needed an earthly priest,
yeah,
to mediate for them. But because Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, you shall discover that the moment he went, you know, to heaven, we believers living even in the 21st century, we no longer need an earthly priest to mediate for us. Through Jesus, all have access to the Father. And that is definitely what he mentions in John chapter 14, verse number 6, Hebrews chapter 7, and verse 25.
Yeah. Now, it, you know, that verse I went through earlier, 1 John 2, verse 1, it says, he's our advocate. What does it actually mean that he is our advocate?
All right. What does it mean that Jesus is our advocate? Well, first and foremost, an advocate, you know, intercedes. An advocate is someone who speaks on behalf of another. And that is in legal terms. We discover that it's like, you know, a defense attorney who represents a client in court. And we can get this illustration. I think John is trying to bring this illustration to our mind. John is actually saying, Jesus pleads our cases before the Father. And so we have God the Father, who is the judge, the righteous judge. And we have Jesus. Then we have the penitent, the sinners. So we are the sinners, and Jesus stands in the gap between the Father and us. He's busy, you know, interceding. He's busy pleading, you know, our cases before the Father. He defends us from the accusation of Satan. Remember in Revelation chapter 12, verse number 10, the Bible says Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Satan is busy accusing us day in and day out. And so Jesus comes, you know, to speak on our behalf. Jesus is our advocate, and he is busy, you know, trying to defend us so that we can find ourselves, you know, ourselves right with God. And so Jesus, you know, continues, you know, to intercede for us. I would say Jesus's advocacy is ongoing even today. He continues to mediate for believers. He ensures that his sacrifice covers our sins. Each time you and I confess, you know, Jesus intercedes for us. And so Jesus is our advocate, meaning Jesus presents his righteousness as our advocate. Jesus doesn't argue our innocence, but presents his righteousness in our place. Remember, we all have fallen short of God's grace and glory. And so the only thing that can make us, you know, to stand innocent before the Father, it is the merits of Jesus. And so each time we look at the death of Christ, we have hope that his righteousness, when we accept Jesus, you know, his perfect life and sacrificial death satisfies God's justice and provides the basis for our forgiveness.
You know, as you're talking, I'm actually thinking, Pastor Mwembela, if we say God is love and he's such a loving father, and that he wants none of us to be destroyed, why would he need to be having an advocate in place who's got to be begging us not to destroy us once and for all? I mean, he's loving for that matter, and is ready to forgive us when we come through him. And yet, the presence of the advocate who is continuously begging him, "Oh, Father, please, please don't." It sounds like, in fact, he cannot wait to destroy us. Hence, now there must be a person who is interceding to say, "Please, Father, don't do it. I beg you, please don't do it." I mean, really.
I would say, how is Jesus the advocate, you know, for us, and why is he the advocate?
Okay.
One thing we should understand: Jesus, you know, as our advocate, Jesus represents us before God. He defends us against Satan's accusation and ensures that the benefits of his sacrifice are applied to us.
You see, remember, Pastor, before you continue, when Satan accuses us of sin, God, who is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, he knows everything. I mean, when these accusations are leveled against us, God knows that there's no such a thing. This one is just lying. Why must now God be begged for what he knows very well does not exist? I mean, he knows that the accuser just accuses for the sake of it.
All right, let me answer this one in this way. You agree with me that, you know, time and again, we are surrounded with sin. We as individuals, you know, we have fallen short of God's grace and glory. And so whatever God and whatever Jesus is doing, he's not doing it for himself, but he is actually doing it for for us who are living right now on earth. Because time and again, we don't understand the implication of our choices. We don't understand the implication of our ways. Mm. We actually don't understand what we are even doing. What we just do know is life should go on, you know, as usual. Mm. But with God, he has to, you know, because he knows that the devil is, the devil wants people he will go with, you know, to hell. The devil actually wants many of us to be destroyed. And so the desire of God really, it is to ensure that none of us does perish. And so the only way that God can make sure that he justifies us, he makes us, you know, to be put right with him, it is, you know, to devise this system of Jesus being our advocate. And so I would say Jesus is our advocate because whatever Jesus is doing, it is for our vindication.
Mm, mm.
The devil is busy accusing us. The devil actually even points to say, you know what, this person does not need salvation. This person does not need to be saved. But for Jesus, when he looks at his death, he says, I came for such a one. There's no, you know, big sin, small sin, cute sin, whatever beautiful sin that can make this person to miss out on eternity. And so Jesus, him being omnipresent, omnipotent, he is doing all this, is gathering evidence, because that is what will make us to understand that, you know, whatever God has been doing throughout history
mm.
has been done, you know, for our own good and for our own salvation.
Mm.
And so God has to gather evidence. God has to make sure that he defends us so that even when we are saved, we should look back and say it is not our own merit, but it is the merits of God. No wonder we are here.
Okay. Interesting that. Thank you so much for that response. Now, the cleansing of the sanctuary. We do meet that term from time to time. The sanctuary is cleansed, for unto 2,300 days the sanctuary shall be cleansed. What does that mean? What does it mean to cleanse the sanctuary?
All right, that's a good one. All right, let's begin with the Old Testament context. In the earthly, you know, sanctuary, the cleansing occurred on the Day of Atonement. And the reference I'll use is Leviticus chapter 16. You know, this was a solemn day when the high priest entered the most holy place to cleanse the sanctuary of the sins. You know, and these sins symbolically, he transferred, you know, there throughout the year. What I'm trying to say is, you know, each time a person could sin, he could get an animal and, you know, sacrifice it. Then the blood was sprinkled on a veil. And so this could happen throughout the year. But there was one day that was dedicated to the cleansing of the sanctuary. And so the cleansing of the sanctuary from the Old Testament context, you know, actually means that it represented judgment and the you know, the removal of sin. When we read Acts chapter 3, you know, Acts chapter 3, verse number 31 there, we discover that the Bible actually says that we need to repent and be converted, that our sins would be blotted out.
Mm.
And so the cleansing of the sanctuary, you know, on the Day of Atonement, meant that the sins that Israel had committed throughout the year were blotted out because Israel had proven herself faithful, and Israel had confessed, you know, all the sins that she had committed throughout the year. And so when we say the cleansing of the sanctuary, we are just basically saying this was, you know, the blotting out of sin through a judgment system on the Day of Atonement.
Okay, now So when is this blotting out of sin going to be happening?
All right. One thing we should understand is that, you know, in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 14, the cleansing of, you know, the sanctuary, the heavenly sanctuary, is tied, you know, to this prophecy, Daniel 8 and 14. And to 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. You know, these prophetic days are interpreted as literal. And in these days, they actually lead to the year 1844. Now, why 1844? Well, you shall discover that an event that should never leave our minds occurred on 1844. You know, in 1844, Jesus began the final phase of his heavenly ministry. We have been saying, well, Jesus died for us, and the moment Jesus ascended to heaven, he was inaugurated. Jesus, you know, was given all power, both on earth and even in heaven. But really, the main role of Jesus's ascension, the way he puts it, it is to prepare a place for each one of us. Now, how is that place prepared? Well, that place is prepared by what we call, it is prepared by Jesus himself through his work of advocacy. And so when we say, what does, you know, the cleansing of the sanctuary mean, or when is it happening? One thing that we should understand is that from 1844 till present, Jesus entered the final apartment of the heavenly sanctuary, and that is the most holy place. In 1844, Christ began the final phase of his heavenly ministry, and this final phase is often called the investigative judgment. And so we would say, since 1844, there is an ongoing, you know, process. Jesus has been conducting the investigative judgment. Jesus has been reviewing the lives of all professed believers. This work will conclude just before the second coming, when the final verdicts are rendered and the sin is ultimately removed. The final outcome of, you know, the work of Jesus, you know, the cleansing of the sanctuary, will actually culminate in the eradication of sin, Satan's defeat, and the restoration of God's kingdom. That is basically Revelation chapter, you know, 21, verse 1 to 4. And so the direct answer is, since 1844, till present, there is an ongoing process of blotting out sins. Everyone who won't confess, you know, their sins, everyone who won't desire that he should be put right with God, when the final verdict is pronounced, that will actually mean that all cases have been decided, whether for life eternal or for death eternal. And so each and every day of our lives, we as believers, we should understand that Jesus is our advocate. Jesus is busy gathering up evidence, not to work against us, but to work for us. Jesus is busy investigating how we talk to people, how we live with people, how we walk, how we conduct ourselves. Jesus is actually busy reviewing our lives. And the reason why Jesus is doing this, it is because he wants to gather evidence that will work for us. And so my encouragement to somebody out there, it is that never forget that from 1844, the Day of Atonement, instead of it being just a day in a year, it has become a daily process. We should confess our sins daily. We should live with God daily. We should do all things in accordance to God's will each and every day. Why? Because we are now living in the antitype of the, you know, the Day of Atonement. Each and every day, it should be a Day of Atonement for us.
Beautiful stuff. Well, each and every day should be the Day of Atonement. Pastor Mwembela, thank you so, so much for joining us this afternoon, in fact, this week, and, you know, giving us these very important subjects that we are talking about. Before we leave, your last word to our listeners, what is it that we should carry out in this message, which you think and believe that should never lose sight of?
All right. Let me just summarize from Wednesday.
Yeah, one just thing briefly. Briefly.
Yes. One thing that we should understand is that the sanctuary system in the Old Testament pointed to the sanctuary system in heaven.
Mm.
The death of the lamb, you know, in the sacrificing of the animals, they pointed to the sacrificial death of Christ on Calvary's cross. The high priest, you know, in the Old Testament pointed to the high priest that we have in Jesus Christ. And whatsoever Jesus, you know, has been doing in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary today has been, you know, for our own good. And so each and every time we should understand that when the devil tries to accuse us, when the devil tries to remind us of our sins, when the devil whispers to us through people that we are good for nothing, when the devil actually says you are not worthy of salvation, just remind him of his sins. Just remind him of the death of Christ. Just remind him of the merits of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Whatever Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary, whatever Jesus is doing today in the heavenly sanctuary, it is done for your good. Therefore, never lose hope as a believer. Salvation is free. Heaven is open for each and everyone, so long as we accept Jesus and we desire and put into practice what he desires for our lives.
Mm. Beautiful stuff. Thank you so much, Pastor Mwembela. And I wish that you have a fantastic, fantastic afternoon and a blessed Sabbath ahead.
Thank you. Happy Sabbath to you.
Happy Sabbath. Blessings to you. Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.